Let's go ahead and turn in our swords, if you have your sword tonight, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to look tonight at one verse, verse 23. I want to say thank you to all of you for taking time out of your busy schedule and your lives to make it a point to attend the services in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. As we've said from time before, say it again, none of us have a vehicle that you can fill it up one time and it'll just run, you know, run and run and run and run and run. You got to go fill it up again with more gas. That's the way I like to see Wednesday night service. We get a fill up on Sunday, and sometimes we get a top off in the evening as well, and then we come on back on Wednesday and we get our tanks topped off again, get us through till Sunday. At least that's what I hope. You get something from the Word of God. Well, tonight I want to bring you, I think it's a timely message. And it's entitled, Ye Are Mad. Ye Are Mad. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. If you have your place there, please say amen. Sounds good, church. If you're able to stand, let's stand together one more time. If you're not able to stand, just stand in your heart. Lord knows. And let's read this verse together out of our Bible, the Old King James Bible. 1 Corinthians 14, 23 says, If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongue, are there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord God, we thank you for the truth that is in this word of God. It is our only truth. You said that your word is truth. So, Lord, that's what we're counting on tonight. That's what we're standing on this evening. And so, Lord, I pray for those of our church family not here with us. Lord, we know some are working, some are sick, some are providentially hindered. But Lord, some could make it tonight, but they chose not to. So Lord, we pray for them. You'll convict their heart. Lord, that you'll just get them right with you. But Lord, Father, we pray, Lord, tonight for we who are here. We've come here, Lord, to hear a fresh wind from heaven. And so Lord, I pray that you'll just let my mouth be that wind and the words that flow out, Lord, not my words, but yours. Hide me behind that old cross, Lord. And put your words in my mouth, you'd have me to preach. Because, Lord, I know of myself, I can't do it. So, Father, I'm trusting you tonight to help me preach this sermon, Lord, that it won't be me, but it'll be you. But like Brother Paul has said many times, this is the most important message I'll preach right now, in this hour, at this moment, Lord. So, Father, we trust you to do all these things, because it is by your strength and power we shall strive to do this. So, Father, we thank you again for these here tonight, and most importantly, for your Holy Ghost and for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, what is this verse specifically talking about? This verse is talking, if you go back up into verse 22, well, actually 21, rather, the whole context. We are told from a quote out of Isaiah about what tongues are all about. And he says, In the law it is written, With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. That's out of Isaiah 28. And he was telling them that in the future, when God's judgment would be about to rain down upon the Hebrew people, that they would hear other tongues. They would hear languages that they did not understand. As a sign, as a warning to them that the judgment of God would fall upon their nation at some point. And that's what he goes into in verse 22. He says, Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Notice that. They are for a sign. Not to them that believe. So tongues, guys, are not meant for we who believe. But you hear some of our friends out of the Holiness Pentecostal and Charismatic movement. But they claim that in order to be saved, you have to have the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost by speaking in other tongues. But here the Bible says that tongues are not a sign to we who believe, but rather they are a sign to those who do not believe. He says, a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying, now that would refer to the basic meaning of prophesy. Prophesy means to speak a message. And it is a message from God. So in the Old Testament, many times when you read about the prophets, the prophet is a messenger. And so when you read about the prophets, many things that they said would actually be prophetic in talking about the future. But prophesying can mean telling the future, or it means what we would call preaching. And so when here he says, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. God, what he's talking about there is giving a message. And that message is the preaching of the Word of God. So when you come inside church, God, you're expecting to be fed the Word of God. And a lost person coming in here, that ain't going to help them any. What they need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they need. So they believe the gospel, they get saved. Because here the Bible says that prophesying, or if you will, interpreting that as preaching, preaching serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. So that's for we who believe. For them which believe. Now verse 23. See, the church at Corinth, guys, was the only New Testament church that we know biblically spoke in tongues. And this is one of the most mixed up, upside down, inside out churches that ever is seen in the pages of the Bible. And so everybody inside that church, not everybody, but a lot of people, they're wanting the ability to speak in other tongues. That's what they were all looking for. That's what they wanted. And here Paul sets the matter straight. He said, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues. So here he's saying an if. He's saying if the whole church comes together and then suddenly everybody stands up and start doing that all over the place. Let's look at part two. Coming together in one place and all speak in tongues. Now let me do a caveat here. The biblical tongues are, Heather, say something in German. Okay, she says no. No. Thank you. Ich liebe dich auch. Anyway, if everybody suddenly starts spouting out other languages, you know Latin, right? Say something in Latin, right? I love something in Latin. Okay, I have no idea what that is. Okay, who knows Spanish? All right, rattle something. Okay? I don't know what she said. How about French? Anybody know French? Okay. How about another language? Italian? Okay. How are you? All right, how are you? Well, that way I'd be classified as Southern English, though, so. Anyway. All right. How about Hebrew? Anybody know Hebrew? I know a little bit of Hebrew. I know a little bit of Greek. En arche proston theon kai ho logos proston theou. Anyway, that's out of John chapter 1, verse 1. Part of it. So anyway, if we all start doing that, guys, and we all start rattling off in all these other languages, what if we had a visitor come in? That's what he's saying here. He says, if the whole church come together in one place, that's where we are right now, and all speak with tongue. Now here's where he goes into part two. And there come in those that are unlearned, that is uneducated, or, notice what he says, or unbelievers. Will they not say that ye are mad? So if we go to the Holiness Church and we plop down, and I've been in one before, in sunshine, I was sitting there like y'all were, just trying to worship, and all of a sudden, everybody was singing a hymn, and then, that come from the pulpit area, and then suddenly some woman over yonder said, and I said, uh-oh. And then it started over in my area, and then it just started like a wave. Now, part of me, now, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Part of me saying, you know what? Everybody else is doing this. maybe I should too to fit in. I said, nope, I ain't going to do it because I don't believe in that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that for now. And so I just looked around and I did think that. I said, you know what? These people have lost their mind. They are off their rocker. No offense to our friends and family that believe this nonsense, but that's what he's saying. He's saying if they come in and they're not educated, evidently I was uneducated, Brother David. Or I don't know, maybe I might have been lost according to them. I don't know. Tongue shall see. That's one of the things there. And it tells us. And so what happens here, guys, is that he's saying if they come in there and they hear everybody blah, 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 they're going to think you're mad. They're going to think you're crazy. And that's what that mad means right there, God. It isn't mad that you're rootin' tootin'. No, it ain't that. It doesn't mean that you're upset, but rather that they're crazy. As in, you might remember out of Alice in Wonderland, the Mad Hatter. Yeah, he was kind of off his rocker and then some. So, let's supply that today. Let's look at Ye Are Mad, a sermon tonight. I think y'all will get something out of it. How many of you have a Facebook? All right, several of you. How many of you talk to people? Everybody. Okay, good. All right, I'm not by myself. So you talk to somebody, and what you try to do, you try to form a friendship with certain people, and what are you looking for? Common interest. I remember well Geraldine talking about everybody she would talk to, she would somehow get it over to church. And she'd usually start off with somewhere in there, where do you go to church? That's an easy question. You're inside the Walmart or Dollar General or in the food line, and you're in there, and you say, well, how are you today? Blah, blah, blah. Do you have a good weekend? Yep. What'd you do? Blah, 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 you know, and I went to church. You go to church? Nope. You know, whatever. Yep. I said, oh, okay. Where you go to church at? You know. Amen. That's right. So you talk to people, you get over onto religion. Now, a lot of people say, don't talk about religion with other people. Well, guess what? We don't have religion. We have a relationship. And if you're in a relationship, you know what you're going to do? You're going to talk about the person you're in a relationship with. And so it is good for us and it is right for us to tell others about the relationship we have with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when you do that, guys, when you do that, whenever you start, when you just mention, I believe in Jesus Christ. Some people are going to look at you like you're crazy. Like you're mad. And so they'll suddenly look at you like you got rabies. They're going to look at you like you've lost your mind, that you need to go take a trip up to the fifth floor or over to Broughton. And I'm serious. I mean, God, I've got two friends. One, it breaks my heart, was my best friend growing up. He come out of the closet, and he does not agree with hardly anything at all of what I stand for and what I believe in. But we're still friends. But we have to agree to disagree. But some of my other Christian brethren, they get up and they start talking with him. He'll just lay into them, mock their faith, mock them, sling things out, and then some of my Christian brothers will sling things right back at him, you know. And so you got a war of words. But and I got another friend I used to go to school with, and I put things on there about the Bible, and he says, oh, you're uneducated. You don't know what you're talking about. It's crazy. I say, well, your grandpa didn't think it was crazy. But anyway, and they will tell people, we believers, we'll put something about the resurrection, about Easter or something, and they think, well, that's crazy. That's stupid. That ain't nothing but a bunch of lies. That ain't nothing but a fairy tale, basically. And so, guys, what we need to realize, I want to give you a rundown of some things here that if you talk to the majority of people in this world today, here's something for you. Talk to Jerry Crowder. When he comes back in from one of his trips, ask him if he talked to people in New York, in California,
in Indiana, up in Yankee Land, out west. Ask him if he talked to them about Jesus or about the Bible. And I'll about guarantee you, I'm not a betting man, but I'll guarantee you that they probably looked at him like he'd lost his mind.
Oh yeah, invitation to listen, yep. Yep.
So when you talk to somebody, guys, about your faith, when you talk to somebody about what you believe, and God's is growing in the South, not everybody around here believes what we used to believe in the Bible. The Bible Belt guy is about to lose his belt buckle and pants are about to fall down. So when you talk to somebody about you believe in God the Trinity, you believe that there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Some people look at you like you're mad. They look at you like you've lost your mind. You talk to a Muslim about it, and they think that you worship three gods. They're wrong. Three leaf clover. And so you tell somebody, I believe in the Trinity. Even some people that call themselves Christian, they don't believe in the Trinity. Some people don't. But I believe that is biblical because throughout the whole Bible, you have evidences that the Trinity is real. In 1 John chapter 5, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. You cannot get clearer than that. And these three are one. Jesus said, my Father, I and my Father are one. At Jesus' baptism, we are told that when he was baptized, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then the Holy Ghost descended in the form of a dove and lit upon him. So you have the voice of the Father, you have the imagery of the Holy Ghost, and you have Jesus Christ himself, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right inside there at the beginning. In John's Gospel chapter 1, we are told that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made which was made. And so the Creator is Jesus Christ. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And we are also told inside Genesis that God said, let there be light. God said, let there be this. God said, let there be that. And that is God the Father speaking. So even in the creation, you see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But yet when you tell people that you believe in God, you believe in the Trinity, they look at you like you've lost your mind. You tell them, number two, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he's a historical figure. People there are going to say, well, you're nuts, you're crazy. There ain't no proof to that. They are denying the evidence that he did exist. We have more evidence that Jesus Christ existed than God. This is a true statement than we have that George Washington lived. We have more evidence that Jesus Christ lived than Julius Caesar lived. But you tell them about Jesus, not Jesus, not Issa, but Jesus, you tell them that and they think you're nuts. We mentioned the creation. That's a big one. You tell them, I believe that everything in this universe was created in six with the seventh day of rest. Within 1 week, everything in this whole universe was created. In six literal 24-hour days.
Well, no, everything was made by evolution. Big bang.
No, that's not what my Bible says.
Well, we are evolved from monkeys and single-celled organisms.
So who did the single-cell amoeba decide to marry one day? Who did the fish that walked on land marry and have youngins with? And before I get on a tangent about this, I'll throw out one more thing, then we'll move on. Here's what really gripes my gut. They'll point to a bunch of bone, and I'll say, that is a dinosaur. Okay, yeah, it is. Well, out of that came this, and out of that one came this. You cannot tell that nothing came out of that dinosaur. All you can tell that it lived and it died. That's it. You can't look at them bones and say that had a young'un or young'uns. It's just like them trying to find the missing link. They'll never find the missing link. But if they find the missing link, they'll say, see, there's evidence or that they made it. And then they'll say, well, that one had this one and that one had that one. They can't tell anything that those bag of bones or that box of bones had youngins or had any offspring. All they know is it lived and it died. So, they're trying to replace what God's Word says. And there's no way, there is absolutely no way you can get evolution or you can get any other of these crazy theories out there by reading the Bible and let it literally say what it says. That God made everything in six literal 24-hour days. That's what the Bible says. That's what it teaches. That's what I believe. But even preachers, many mainstream preachers, and many so-called Christians will look you square in the eye and say, you're nuts for believing in the creation. Let's move on over to Exodus. When Moses stood there at Yom Suf, where mountains were on the left, mountains were on the right, and Pharaoh's chariots were coming up, and he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he used the staff. He moved his hand and God parted the Red Sea. There are people out there that say that never happened. Yep. Yep, that's right. They found the land bridge. But guess what? They don't believe that. They deny it. They deny the clear evidence that these things are real. They don't want to believe. So when you tell them, I believe that the Red Sea parted, and as the Bible said, they crossed over dry. On dry ground, and they were dry. Well, that didn't happen. I mean, look at the newest, latest movie that came out. You remember, guys, everything out in Hollywood, or every book, magazine, whatever, it has an agenda. So you look at this new movie that came out a few years back, Gods and Kings. Gods and King. Ha, 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 what a mockery. Oh, cool effects. But they claim Moses hit his head and he was crazy. God appeared to him as a little boy. And then suddenly tornadoes came out and split the Red Sea. And then the Hebrews are wading out almost with water up to their loins. I said, my Bible said they crossed on dry ground. I don't care what they do. They'll never beat the Ten Commandments. Thistle B. DeMille, 1956 version, in my opinion. No one can charge for that. But I believe that the Red Sea was parted. And I further believe that on Mount Sinai, God issued the Ten Commandments. That he wrote them with his finger on two tablets of stone. Well, no, Moses did that. He copied it from Hammurabi's code. No, he didn't. Hammurabi copied it from God. It's just like they talk about the Gilgamesh epic. They say that Genesis come out of that. The flood legend come out. No, you got the cart before the horse. All these flood stories and legends come out of Genesis. Not the other way around. But you tell them you believe in the literal interpretation and literal history of the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus. They're going to say, you're mad. You're crazy. We live in the 21st century. How in the world can you believe that?
Well, here's another big one. Jericho. When the old slaves, when they were not emancipated, but when the 13th Amendment freed them and abolished slavery, they had a lot of spirituals that they sung for many, many years. Thank God they sung them. You know why? Because they had been in Islam and other false religion, and at least here in America, North and South, they were introduced to Christianity. And many blacks got saved. And they began to form songs. And so many of our songs, my nose is itching, somebody must be coming. Maybe it's Jesus. Anyway, they sang many songs. And one of the songs they sung was Joshua 5th, the Battle of Jericho. Joshua 5th, the Battle of Jericho, Jericho, you know. So anyway, and so, you know, he marched around, and then marched around seven times. They blew the trumpets. And the walls came down. But yet people of all stripes said that did not happen. They will say, well, there was a weird earthquake that went along the walls of the city and knocked three walls down but left one wall standing. Really? You going to tell me that there's a horseshoe-shaped earthquake? Yeah, if you want to believe that, you go ahead and be deluded. Yeah, there they have.
And so the Battle of Jericho, there's a lot of people that say, you really believe that? That's just a
moralistic story. And so you're crazy. Well, fine. Call me crazy then.
How about David and Goliath? You say, I believe that this young boy, this young man, went out with a sling, slang the stone, sunk into the giant's forehead.
Oh, there is no giant.
Why?
It goes against the evolutionary record.
Oh, really? Then why has the Smithsonian lost or destroyed hundreds of giants? Skeleton. They found, there's been photographs in the paper, there's been stories in the paper from ever since the 1700s in America. And people have sent these big old bones to the Smithsonian, and the Smithsonian...
They don't know nothing about it.
Yeah, they do. Because they're trying to preserve the sacred cow. Evolution. So anyway, I believe that event happened because the Bible says it happened. The giant fell back, and David drug Goliath's sword, chomped his head off, raised it up, and he won the battle. God won the battle. God won the battle between David and Goliath. He won the battle between the people of Jericho and the Hebrew children. And so, yes, I believe in the Battle of Jericho. Yes, I believe in the battle between David and Goliath. But if you tell somebody out there, or some educated knothead from a university, or some professor down there, even a religion professor, they're going to look at you.
Oh, you're one of them Baptists, aren't you? You're one of them fundamentalists. You literally believe what the Bible says.
Yes, sir, and proud of it.
Well, you're crazy. That did not really happen.
Well, you go ahead and sound like Charlie Brown, teacher, and you go ahead and corrupt the rising generations of preachers out there. But yes, I'm crazy enough that I'm going to believe what this Bible says. The same thing about the Old Testament historical record. You can look at almost anything in the Old Testament, and someone out there will tell you, well, you don't really believe that, do you? You don't really believe in Josiah. I mean, God, there were people even saying that David did not exist, that Solomon did not exist. Why? Because they couldn't find any cotton-picking evidence outside the Bible, so they said. Yes, that's right. That's why we have faith. But since they have said these things in the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, they have found so many artifacts that have proven the house of David, that have proven Solomon did exist, that had proven all different kings in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, they did exist. So when you got these professors out there in some seminary that in the 1800s said that that Bible account was flawed and did not mean what it said, when you had men out there training in the 1700s in America and England, telling the Bible students and the young preachers in these Bible colleges that, oh, what's his name? Belshazzar, with the handwriting on the wall, the ruler of the Babylonian kingdom, they said that Belshazzar never existed because they could find no evidence of it. There were hundreds of professors, God, that said that the Assyrians never existed. But they found tablets and bukus of information about the Assyrian. They found the so-called Nabonidus cylinder. Nabonidus was the king of Babylon. He was Belshazzar's daddy. And Nabonidus went out on an archaeological excavation. And in that cylinder, he named his son Belshazzar to be king of Babylon while he was away. Your Bible says it right for thousands of years. But man sticks his long nose in it and says,
well, that's not true. You must be crazy for believing it.
Fine. The Bible has remained true again and again and again. Let's move on to the New Testament. The crucifixion. People out there say the crucifixion is just a blown up story. They'll point at the Gospels and the New Testament teaching and say, well, that was written hundreds of years after the event. No. They have found evidence that it is an eyewitness account. And the crucifixion did happen. You're crazy if you believe the crucifixion. Well, so be it. They'll say, you're mad? Fine, I believe the crucifixion. I also believe in the resurrection. Because the Bible says Jesus was raised from the dead bodily, soulishly, spiritually. Paul himself even said in 1 Corinthians 15, he told us that if Christ be not raised from the dead, ye are yet in your sin.
Amen.
But yet people look at you and I, and they'll mock our faith around Easter, and they'll say, well, you are celebrating Jesus' zombie day. They'll talk about, well, the resurrection didn't really happen. It was just something the disciples made up.
Here's the big one, guys, that a lot of people say we're crazy about believing. Salvation by grace. So many think you got to earn your way to heaven. And then if it ain't that, it's the fact that we say what the Bible says.
That Jesus told the people around him that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, there is one way to heaven. But when you tell them that out there, oh no, that can't be right.
Who are you, God? What? Are you trying to change the Bible?
Oh, that ain't what it means. As long as you believe sincerely, everybody will make it there.
No, it ain't. Hundreds of billions and millions of people are going to split hell wide open because they sincerely, firmly believe in these lies of Satan. Well, that's not fair, preacher. God should let them in heaven because they didn't know no better. They should have known any better. You know why? Because he's told the church, we the saved, to spread the word of God so that a lost and dying world might hear. You think the devil going to go out there and tell them how to get to heaven? No.
I'll tell you, guys, we're coming up to the anniversary again of my son. It made international news. The Quran needs to be flushed. What it said. And let me tell you guys the thing that really got me. It wasn't the Muslims. I knew the Muslims would be mad. I mean, wouldn't you be mad?
If somebody said to trash or burn your book, well, guess what? They're already doing that. I mean, in the Middle East, it is nothing for Muslims to tear pages out of the Bible and use it as toilet paper. And that routinely happens. But people don't say nothing about it because they're afraid of offending the Muslim. You come Sunday night, you'll learn what the Muslims are all about and why we're in this mess about jihad and why we're in this mess against not fundamentalist terrorism, but we are in this mess with Islam. Because I'll tell you now, and you'll hear it again Sunday night, Islam is partly a religion. But it is mainly a political movement to take over another country, to conquer that country, and to force that country to convert to Islam. It is a political, military, religious movement, and that's exactly what Islam is. And I'm behind the pulpit on that. So, when I put that sign out there, what really floored me was I began to get phone calls. I began to get letters, and Heather and I have a lot of them in boxes at the house. And here it is. These are from Christians, quote unquote. These are from Bible believers, quote unquote. Oh, yeah. And almost overwhelmingly, guys, these liberal-minded, open-minded, quote unquote, mainstream believers, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, you name it, whatever flavor, non-denominational, from California to North Carolina, to Maine to Florida, to Texas to North Dakota. Many of these people were writing this church and myself telling me, Loveless, don't you know that Islam is just another way to heaven? And guys, when I saw that from quote-unquote preachers and every average Christian, my heart sank because it showed me an overwhelming diagnosis of the mindset of mainstream average Christianity in this country. And it is corrupt and it is bankrupt in regard to biblical instruction and understanding. Why? Because everybody is about everything except the Bible. You go to a church and they will have every program. You'll get the elderly people, and they'll take them to the mountains on a retreat. They'll take the youth out there on a retreat to Carowind, feed their face with pizza almost every night of the week. You'll then get the average people out there and take them to the movie. You'll then do this, and they'll go do something else. They'll have programs for anything and everything you want to do. They'll take the youth out on outings. They'll go play in the sandbox. Anything and everything. But when it comes to learning and implementing the Bible and the Word of God in your mind, in your heart, and in your life, what's that? They gather in these social clubs, and they gather for funny stories, and they gather to get their little heads patted and to get some motivational word, and then boom, out they go, and their lives have never been challenged or changed. Because many of these places are rejecting the Bible. And that's why, God, you hear junk like that. Nobody better say that from this church, because if you do, you didn't learn it from this pulpit or this Sunday school. Muslims are lost and they are doomed on their way to heaven. They need Jesus, not Isa, and definitely not Allah and not Muhammad. That's what they need, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when you tell somebody you believe that there is one way to heaven, they're bound to look at you like you're crazy. How about the rapture? The rapture. You'd be surprised, guys, to learn that many churches do not teach or preach the rapture of Jesus Christ coming to take His church out. Many of them don't preach the tribulation. Right. See? How many people, they don't know about the rapture. They don't know about second coming. They don't know about tribulation. But when you tell somebody, I believe that all Christians are going to disappear one day. What? They're going to look at you like you're crazy. Well, let them look at us like we're crazy when we're gone. When the trumpet blows and poof, we're out of here. Praise God. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And they don't know about the tribulation. They think, well, you're crazy to think about all that, about the blood, and about the sea turning to blood, and a mountain falling, and all these other different things. That's crazy. No, it's not. It's almost on the front page of the paper. And then for the millennial kingdom, you tell folks that you believe Jesus is going to reign and rule on this earth for a literal 1,000 years. They might look at you like you've lost your mind. Oh, here's another one. Now, this ain't as bad as the other one, but you say, I believe in heaven. Some people actually believe there ain't no heaven. And some people, they think, well, you live, you die, you become worm food. Yeah, you come back as an amoeba or a cat or a cow or something. So some folks, guys out there, they don't believe in heaven. So when you say, I believe the saved are going to go to heaven, they think you're crazy. But now the big one is a lot of people are comfortable with the idea of heaven. But you tell them, I believe there's a place called hell. Oh, no, there ain't no thing called hell, they say. God is love. He can't send people to hell. I remember when I was working at Rose's. My manager and I got started talking about heaven and hell. And I said, do you believe in heaven and hell? Oh, yeah, I believe we're all pretty much going to go to heaven. I said, really? I said, what about this thing called hell? Oh, I believe hell is right now. I said, you do? He said, yep, whatever your greatest fear is, that's hell for you. I said, you got this out of, it sounds like Greece or Rome. I said, it don't sound like my Bible. Oh, I believe the Bible. I said, well, with all due respect, you don't. Well, hell's so outmoded. It's so old-fashioned. Scary. Nah. There ain't no hell, they said. There is. The Bible, Jesus Himself says, where the worm dieth not. The rich man, when he died, he lifted up his eyes, being in hell in torments. The Bible says there is a place called heaven. There is a place called hell. And when you tell people you believe that, some people are going to look at you like you've got a few screws loose upstairs. They're going to look at you like you're a few fries short of a Happy Meal. Well, you tell them you believe in angels or demons. Yeah. You're crazy. Oh, the Bible says it. There are angels. There are seraphim. There are different types of angels. Cherubim. There are fallen angels. There are spirits, demons out there. But some folks, they don't believe it. And Satan, the devil himself. You tell people you believe that there is an entity called the devil, Satan, old Fluffwood, Beelzebub, however you want to style it, the old dragon. They look at you and they say, well, that's a medieval myth. Well, if you want to believe that and be deceived, you're welcome to. But my Bible says he's real. And I'm going to believe that. And then people say, well, the person in the hospital, what are we going to do? We're going to pray. Oh, you're just talking to the ceiling. You're crazy. You think there's an all-powerful God up there who's going to listen to your prayer? I believe it. Because the Bible says, Paul the Apostle, pray without ceasing. Jesus said, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray, pray in this manner. Our Father which art in heaven. You see? When you tell people you believe in prayer, some folks out there are going to think you're crazy. And now point number 20. You said, 20? You've already been through 20. About time. It's right here. I believe in the old blessed book, the Bible, the good book, not a good book, the good book, the King James Bible, the Word of the living God. Oh, when you say that, oh, now look, you can say, I believe the Bible. But when you preclude that and you say, I believe in the King James Bible, that it is the Word of God, it is without mistake, it is without with any flaw, it has no error, no problem in it whatsoever. When you say that, they will look at you like you're crazy. So there's 20 things, guys, right there. 20 things. And all of that I mentioned, all of that pertains to orthodox, fundamental Christianity. And every one of those points, we believe. We believe it literally, and we believe what this Bible said. Because, guys, it all goes back. That's why I said this one last. If you don't believe this book, then anything on that list right there, it will become your interpretation. It will become whatever you want it to be or not want it to be. Because this is what tells us all about that. God, I've never seen hell. I've never seen heaven. I have never visibly seen an angel, to my knowledge. I've never seen Satan. I've never seen Jesus Christ. Have you? But how do I believe it? How do I know it? Because of what this Bible says. But you go to others out there, God. Let me tell you how bad it's getting. My wife told me just the other day that she has this week observed with her own two eyes, asked some young people, how many animals on the ark? Some of them who have come to this church, I might add, know two by two of every unclean, and how many of every clean? Seven pairs. She told me that some of these children denied it. They said, no, there were only two by two, a male and female of each kind. When she turned in the Bible and showed them, and seven of every clean, they denied it because of what they heard a grandparent say. Because of what they had heard their whole life. What they heard their whole life. And so now, guys, it's getting to the point where someone may claim they believe the Bible. But when you actually show them, guys, that ain't something you debate about. Like, say, tongues or something like that. But when you look at that, and it literally says it right there in black and white.
And they say, no, my grandma or grandpa said otherwise.
It don't matter. I don't care who your grandma or grandpa is, or who your mom and daddy is, or who even you are. And you deny the word of the Bible, that's dangerous ground. Something as simple as Noah and the ark.
I don't believe that.
Well, I don't want to call nobody a blockhead, but that's pretty sorry when you show them the Bible and they don't heed the written word of God. Oh, yeah, that's true too.
That's what they think. So, guys, I'm telling you, that's how we get in this mess right now. You know why? Because people are more willing to trust what the Pope says, or they're more willing to trust what the preacher says, or they're more willing to trust what grandma or grandpa or mama or daddy or some other doctor blah, blah, blah says, or my Greek teacher says, or my Hebrew teacher says. Let me tell you something. All of us are going to answer before God. And these ninnies out there that are teaching others, what did James say? Be ye not many masters, or be ye not many teachers, because they will have the greater condemnation. And so there's going to be a whole lot of people going to answer to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because they put this junk and this filth and this claptrap in people's mind, denying the authority of the Word of God. And God, that is where our authority is. Ladies, that's where the Bible says about what the Scripture says about the role of a wife and of a woman. Men, that's what the Bible says about the role of a husband, of a father, and of a man of God. That is what the Bible says about our role as men. Children, that's what the Bible says. Obey your parent in the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And if we say we're going to cherry pick and pick and choose what we want to obey and not obey, God, we are rejecting the authority of the Word of God. This is what we go by. If we don't, guess what? You and I get to rewrite the rules. And that, my dearly beloved, is why America is so screwed up today. That is why our churches are so messed up today. It's because anything and everything flies. Anything's fine but the Word of God. That ain't the way it is here at Danieltown, because we believe the authority of the written Word of God. I'll say this and I'll be quiet. Don't hold me to that. I'm just kidding. God, I never, ever, ever in my mind dreamed that we would be here in 2016 on national television and on national radio syndicates all across this world, in the halls of Raleigh and in the halls of the government, debating about whether or not a man should use a man's bathroom or a woman use a woman's bathroom. It is common sense and it is biblical sense. What? Men do not use that which pertaineth or wear that which pertaineth to a woman, and vice versa. It's stupid what this whole matter has been blown out. And I'll tell you right now, guys, why this whole issue is here. It isn't about somebody's right. It isn't about somebody's civil right. It is about the destruction of Christian value. It is about the criminalization of Judeo-Christian values in this country. The forces of Satan are out. I didn't say Obama, I didn't say the government. I know the strings behind them, and that is Satan. His goal in this country and in this region is to destroy biblical Christianity. And where you start with that is where? With the man, the woman, the child, the family. This state has stood up many times for God's definition of certain things. And we have seen too many foreign entities come in and try to overturn what thus saith the Lord. So I tell you now, we need to pray for our leadership in this state, in this country. We need to pray for our governor, pray for the president. But above all, guys, you see, it's the same thing. When you stand up and say, I believe what this Bible says. God made you a man, God made you a woman. And they think otherwise, they're going to look at you like you've lost your mind. It's even creeping over, guys, like I said, into politics. Over simple things. That six 6 months ago, nobody had an issue with. So why is the issue being driven now? 1 Corinthians 4:10, this is what it says. Paul says in a sarcastic manner, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised." And so this is what I say right there, guys. If they think you and I are a fool for believing these 20 things and believing what thus saith the Word of God, they think you're stupid or you're a fool or you're crazy or you're mad, guess what? I'll stand with Paul. I will be a fool for Christ's sake. I'll say, let them say I'm crazy. Worse has happened before. They called us everything under the sun, from a racist, a homophobe, a bigot, and everything else. And Islamophobe. Let the heathen rage. But let us stand upon the inerrant word of the living God. So when you tell somebody you believe in God, and you believe in this Bible and the Word, don't matter, let them, about them hurting your feelings. It don't matter. What matters is, God, that we stand on this Word. Because we know who's right and who's wrong. God's right. What He says is right, and what He says is wrong, no matter what they say. Let them call us crazy all they want to. So, tonight, maybe you sit here, and you've wondered about your own standing with the Lord. Maybe you're like me. Maybe one time you said, "Lord, you're crazy if you're trying to consider me about that." But maybe tonight you sit here, and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you sit here tonight and you are saved, but you've been struggling with some things about the Bible. I don't know what it might be, but if you're struggling with anything, confused about certain things, God's Word will set you straight. If that's you tonight, if God's dealing with your heart in some way, shape, or form, this altar's open, you can come and pray. Anyone here tonight? Well, beloved, I'm glad when they said to me, let's